It's the rainbow theme. It means it's time to welcome Rob Kelly into the Wellington studio. He's a producer here at RNZ, and he's a book nut, and he's in for Rob's book quiz. Hi, Rob.
I'm a book nut, and I'm book nuts. Hello.
Hello, and I've squeezed you, but I think if you heard that interview with Estelle, you'll understand why.
Well, as I said to the control room, I can do this in 20 seconds if needed.
Yeah, okay,
let's,
cool.
Let's run that out. That was beautiful. What a lovely interview.
Yeah. Hey, over to you.
Okay, so the way the book quiz works, Te Whanau, is I'm going to read out the titles of several books, and I want you to text in to 2101 what you think the link is that connects them. Could be the authors, could be the books, and we've got a lovely prize to give you, but we might announce that after in order to save time. So the first book is Silverview by John le Carré. Yes, I know that's not his actual name, but that's what he publishes under. So, Silverview by John le Carré.
You're a fan, as I recall.
Massive fan. I think he's one of the best writers for me. I absolutely love his work.
Yeah.
Jane Austen is our second author with Northanger Abbey. The third book is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Stieg Larsson. And Barracoon by Zora Neale Hurston. And one more for fun, The Trial by Franz Kafka, which is a play, but I'll do whatever I want. So Silverview by John le Carré, Jane Austen, Northanger Abbey, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Stieg Larsson, Barracoon by Zora Neale Hurston, and The Trial by Franz Kafka. What links these books?
We have a beautiful prize today. Tikanga from Kiri Opai. You might have heard me chatting about that earlier in the week. So 2101, have a go. The answer coming up after the 2 p.m. news.
There's a voice keeps on calling me down the road. That's where I'll always be. Every stop I make, I'll make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
Time for Rob's book quiz answers. Rob Kelly's back with us in Wellington. You got time for a short book chat, Rob?
Oh, of course. Always.
Okay, I've picked up Infinite Jest again, and I know we've talked about
it
on the show.
You are a glutton for punishment.
But, so Infinite Jest is a pretty famous 1,000-page book, tiny print, by David Foster Wallace, the late David Foster Wallace, and it's regarded in almost the same breath as Ulysses as a work of genius, but also quite impenetrable. But I've got to say, I'm actually really enjoying it this time around. Do you feel like maybe you just have to wait for a right time of life to enjoy a certain book, Rob?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you have to be at the right stage of life to understand what's coming through it. I think that can be overemphasized, particularly by gatekeepers. But that definitely I find things that I read earlier or tried to read earlier and I come back to them and I go, oh, that's right, it's about grief. I just didn't pick that up at the time.
Yeah, for me, I'm really enjoying the jokes in this one as well. My dad, hi Nick, just finished Ulysses, and he said he appreciated the occasional moments of humour getting him through that, and that's even more the case with Infinite Jest, because it's so wittily written that there are very few words that you don't understand, so it's not like it's complex, it's just an unusual book and very long, so... yeah, I'll keep you up to date, but I'm very happy so far.
Well, that's great news. I remember trying to read A.A. Gill quite young, like when I was in my early 20s, and thinking,
yeah,
oh, what is this entitled nonsense? I don't enjoy this at all. I think it's complete rubbish. And then by accident, almost about 8 years later, working in a bookshop, picked up a damaged copy of Poor Me, which is P-O-U-R-M-E, which is his memoir of his year of getting sober.
Yeah,
because he was a very intense alcoholic. And I remember reading that in one sitting and going, oh, right. No, I understand now. I completely get it.
Yeah, cool.
And devouring all of his writing. So keep me up to date with how you go and whether or not you make it through.
Great, and I appreciate this little spot each week on our show to talk about books and appreciate books. Rob Kelly, we've also got a quiz to do, and we're welcoming now from my home patch, Hillcrest in Hamilton. It's Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hello, Jesse. Well, we call it Mulligan Tire these days, actually.
What street are you on?
I live in Mansell Ave.
Oh, Mansell Ave. Yeah. Never quite managed that one. But yeah, I was on Masters Ave for a while and Carrington Ave, all round, all the local traps. How's life in that part of the city?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm actually at work at the moment over in Frankton.
What
working
are you doing?
Away under level three. I'm a luthier. I have a little music shop and I repair instruments.
Oh, come on, really? That's cool. Huh. What would be a typical, what have you done today?
Glued up a Gibson guitar with a broken neck. I've been working on a 1920 Hawaiian ukulele, which was smashed into a zillion pieces, and I'm just fiddling with the lacquer now to make it look good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What makes a good luthier?
Just experience, I guess. I didn't formally train, but I've been doing it professionally for 30-something years.
Really?
Just came from a do-everything sort of a background, you know, built instruments as a kid and then built a few instruments back in the 80s and then left my job at the museum in Hamilton and started doing this.
Yeah. I remember getting on my bike on Morris Road, just around the corner from you, and biking off to Barclay Intermediate with my guitar on my back, and I hadn't done the zip-up on the leather case, and it fell out and onto the road on Morris Road, and I still have the chip out of that three-quarter size guitar that I bought in 1987. So next time I'm in Frankton, I'll come past and we'll get it repaired.
Oh, I might be ashamed to fix it after all this time.
Maybe, yeah. It scratches the story, right?
Also play in a band with your rat guy, John Innes. So,
come on.
All sorts of connections in Hamilton here.
Okay. What's the name of the band?
It's an Irish band called Real Men.
Okay. Put me down for a gig at some stage as well. Sounds like you and me get on fine, Keith, but I'm going to hand you over to the patient, Rob Kelly, who will have a bit of difficulty reminiscing about our particular neighbourhood in Hamilton, but we'll easily talk books over to you, Rob.
Well, I mean, you say that, Jesse, but I have a lot of love for Frankton because I did my master's degree on railway housing.
And trains,
And that was all built in Frankton Junction. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, so it might be. Do you know if your workshop is an old railway building?
No, but I have the railway lines directly out my window.
Excellent.
I'm just in High Street in Frankton.
See, there's just so much going on. So turning to the bookshelf, probably not as lovingly lacquered as the guitar, Silverview by John le Carré, Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Stieg Larsson, Barracoon by Zora Neale Hurston, and The Trial by Franz Kafka, what do they all have in common?
All published after the author died would be my guess. I know for a fact about two of them.
Which two? Which ones do you know?
Well, funnily enough, I just ordered that new John le Carré this morning. I didn't even realise it was there until I picked it up in the traps somewhere. And Stieg Larsson, of course, he died just before it got published.
That's absolutely right, and you're 100% correct. They were all posthumously published. Silverview by John le Carré has come out this week. So if anyone wants to have a go at that, it's his final novel, which he finalised and agreed that it could be published before he died.
That is amazing.
Well done, Keith.
Yeah, good one, Keith. I've got this. You're going to love this book as well. It's called Tikanga by Kerry Opai, and it's kind of all about the why, I suppose, the why of why we do what we do in terms of Māori culture and traditions. I did the interview earlier this week, so if you're interested, you get to look that up. Yeah.
I heard that.
Real plain language guy. He said he had so many... particularly Pākehā people coming up to him and saying, hey, how do I not offend Māori people when I do X or Y? I decided to write a book about it. So that's all yours, and a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
That's Keith, who's won himself that book. Good week to be talking about Infinite Jest then, Rob.
Yes. Yes, posthumous publishing is far more common than I had thought when I went to look
Although,
at it.
Actually,
today.
I don't know if that's probably not posthumous. No, I mean he's dead now, but he probably wasn't at the time. Sorry, yeah, you were going to say.
Well, yeah, I had no idea quite how many things. I mean, the Stieg Larsson story is incredible. He was planning to write 10 books in that series, and he'd written 3 of them and had them accepted for publication. But he died before The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo even made it to the shelves. Oh. So there's an amazing kind of pathos to that. I was quite struck by it.
Never got to know how successful he would become.
Yeah, kind of a literary Van Gogh. So yeah, there's all sorts of interesting stuff going on around death. And the one that I thought I would include but then decided not to in a fit of pique was Maurice by Ian Forster, which was him coming out. And he was an author in the 1920s, 1930s, where obviously you couldn't. And that was published 50, 60 years later. And that I can highly recommend that book if anyone wants to read about that era. It's very sad, but a very interesting, intimate portrait of homosexuality in kind of early 20th century UK. So there's lots there. I think maybe there's a peace and freedom to having something published after your death because you don't have to be involved.
I'd agree with that, and I just want to admit that I was momentarily distracted by the sound your throat made when you said Vincent van Gogh.
Gogh.
Although, yeah, you really put a lot into it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying really hard to get names right at the moment. I'm on a tick of trying to get it right. But I think probably that's a bit like Dr. Zeus. You know,
yeah.
there are tribes of people who think that their version is correct and they might both be right. There's a very good episode of This American Life about that, about how people...
Oh, good one.
Anyway, sorry, I'll stop rabbiting on and let you get on with your show.
No, you're full of good trivia. Thanks, Rob. Nice to have you in. Rob Kelly's book quiz.